If you would, look with us at the book of St. Matthew. And we want to look at chapter 5. St. Matthew chapter 5. And we want to look at verse 6. When you found it, please say amen. And the word of God reads as follows. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And just from that one verse this morning, I need to ask you a question. Church, how's your appetite? How is your appetite? You may be seated in the presence of God. In life, we often get what we call hungry. And when you hunger for something, it means that you have a desire for something. Sometimes when we get up in the morning, we have a desire for that cup of coffee. Or you have a desire for that biscuit. And then as the day progresses, we have a desire for that fried chicken. But the word of God says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And sometimes it seems like we just have a ferocious appetite and could just eat up everything in the house. But now, since we as saints of God have experienced the love of God, we've experienced the peace of God, and we've experienced even some joy through his word and even experienced God's grace. And since we've tasted of the goodness of the Lord, we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. And righteousness is the ways of God. Righteousness consists of holiness, and somebody ought to tell you that holiness is right. We should have a desire to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. Now, I know God has been good to all of us, and since we've tasted of the Lord, I just got to ask you, how's your appetite? And all of us, all men are born with an appetite. When we think after God created this earth and he made man and he made Adam and Eve, they were set in a position where they were able to rule and have dominion and live as prince and princess over paradise. And think about this. They didn't have to go anywhere to look for anything. They didn't have to drive down the street to look for a Popeyes. They didn't have to go to Food World looking for something to eat, for God gave them everything that they needed. And what happens is, usually we desire the things that we really don't need. They had built in everything that they could have even asked for, and all of it was based on their relationship with God. And right now, all of us need a relationship with God. And when we have that relationship, we realize that he supplies all of our needs. However, they began to listen to Satan in the garden. Amen. Sometimes, even for our physical bodies, the doctors tell us that there are certain things that we don't need to eat because right now it's not doing our physical health a whole lot of good. But everything that the doctor tells us not to eat are the things that we have the appetite for. You know that your blood pressure's high, but you got to go get that rib sandwich. You know that your cholesterol is out of whack, but you gotta go and get that fried chicken with the mashed potatoes and gravy on the side. It's all because you have a desire for something that you probably really don't need. And you know the story of Adam and Eve, and the result was this. After they grabbed the fruit, true enough, they got the fruit, but they lost their fellowship with God. They alienated themselves from God. And think about, they alienated themselves from the God that made them, that gave them everything they could ever ask for. And right now, we often alienate ourselves from God. And as a result of this, everybody born after Adam and Eve are born with their backs to God. And we should be crying right now, God, I want to get right with you. We ought to be craving, having desire to reassemble and reconcile our differences with the one that made us. See, believe it or not, the word of God said that he made man in his image, which means that we were born with a hunger for holiness. Amen. Amen. Even though we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, God made man a perfect being, because if it was in his image, God is a perfect God. We ought to experience a deep desire for righteousness. And when you gain righteousness, that's evidence of the new birth. See, when we are poor and empty in our own poverty, we must recognize the depth of our need. And we should hunger for something that only God can give you. See, there are some things that there's no substitute for. You might find some artificial sweetener that will make your taste buds assume that it tastes like sugar. But see, when you're missing the word of God from your table, there's no substitute to cure the craving that we ought to have by desiring the sincere milk of the word. Now Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And once we recognize that we've got a hunger, we ought to realize that something is missing in my life. See, some of us realize that I didn't get that cup of coffee this morning. And in the same aspects, some of us didn't have that talk with Jesus this morning. So we ought to realize that something was missing from our diet that causes us to be spiritually deficient. Yearning, craving. And we realize that it's a hunger for God, amen. People all over this world are trying to find a breakthrough. They're trying to find a solution to their problems. And what has happened is we fed them on how to have church and not how to transform my life. See, the devil comes to church. But see, when you have life-changing transformation, you are able to eat off of a different buffet than what the world eats on. See, if I go to Ryan's today, I might eat till my belly is almost about to burst. But a few hours later, I will find myself saying again, I'm hungry. But Jesus said that there's a living water in which ye shall thirst no more. See, when you go and get a sip of the real water, the living water, you don't have to worry about the well running dry. And if you ever have an appetite that it seems like you just can't quench, let me tell you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we look for satisfaction, often in the wrong places, instead of us feasting from God's table, we find ourselves eating at the cafe of carnality, the cafe of the carnal mind that has man-made menus on it, which does nothing for your appetite for God. In other words, we can come to church and go to whatever kind of day you have. But when you get through, you still find yourself hungry and empty. Now, it might excite you, but excitement won't last. It's kind of like getting a little burst of sugar. I can eat a candy bar, but that won't sustain me very long. And right now, we've been feeding church folk candy bars. Somebody help me. See, when we go to seek salvation, you will understand that there's no satisfaction in the liquor bottle. There's no satisfaction in the weed that folks smoke. There's no satisfaction in the lustful activities that we take a part in. And see, let me tell you about the pleasures of this world. Anybody here ever eaten any cotton candy? See, the pleasures of this world are just like cotton candy. It looks good. It tastes good. It's inviting. But when you bite into it, you discover that it's nothing but air. And right now, some of us have been feasting on things that are nothing but air. And see, the problem is the fact that the world pleases us too easily. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I want you to read it with me. I don't want you to say that Rigby said. I want you to read it with me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 reads just like this. Love not the world, nor the things in it. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Now, some of us are banking. We're trying to feed on what the world has to offer. But the word of God says, and the world shall pass away. Think about this. we spend our money on things we don't need to impress people you don't like. Am I right about it? And when we finish eating at this cafe of carnality and drinking at the world, the well of the world, this is where we find ourselves. Still having an appetite, a craving, not full yet. And if you're looking for satisfaction, the only place you can find it is at the restaurant of righteousness. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the weight of their disobedience fell on all of us. And if we find ourselves crushed up under the weight of this world, somebody needs to holler out, "Lord, I need you to feed me with your word. Lord, I need you to give me that living water that will restore my spirit." You see, but let me tell you, don't get mad at the garden. Wasn't nothing wrong with the garden. See, all of us got in trouble in the garden. But we got out of trouble in the garden. Let me help you out. I got some Bible readers here now. See, in the Garden of Eden, man sinned and fell out of fellowship with God, the Creator. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus began to pray for me. And if you look in John chapter 17, you will discover the prayer that he prayed, because he knew what I was going to be going through. So the garden got me in trouble. But also the garden got me out of trouble. I got in trouble by eating the fruit from a tree. But also another tree got me out of trouble because they hung Jesus on the tree. I got in trouble because of a woman named Eve. But God allowed me to get out of trouble by sending his son Jesus through a woman named Mary. I got in trouble by a man named Adam. But God got me out of trouble with the second Adam that was named Jesus. There's satisfaction, there's feeling at the restaurant of righteousness. And if you want to find out about this restaurant, you will find the advertisement of this restaurant in Isaiah chapter 55. Somebody read it with me. And what Isaiah was doing was, he's telling you, God has opened a restaurant. And if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you've got an appetite for God, then come on in. For Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 says, "Ho! To the young folk," he was saying, "hold up, Wode, watch, stop. Peek this. Everybody that's thirsty, come to the waters. Even if you have no money, come, buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price." In other words, why do we spend our money for that which is not bread, and labor for the things that satisfieth not? But the word said, "Eat ye which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness." Maybe you've been eating at the wrong restaurant, but the restaurant that Isaiah is talking about said everybody can come eat. The table is spread. Now somebody said, "I don't have any money." He said, "Well, I ain't asking for your money." See, let me tell you what happens. If you'll come eat, from the table of righteousness. He'll fill you up with his spirit. He'll grant you some favor, and then you'll have some money. Have you got an appetite this morning? If you're hungry, I come to let you know that there is one who is the bread of life. If you're thirsty, there's one that says, come and drink from the fountain of everlasting water that never runs dry. And once you taste of God's goodness. Anybody in here ever tasted of God's goodness? Somebody here has tasted of God's goodness. See, the word, let me tell you what, there once was a commercial that said, like Lay's potato chips, once you taste them, nobody can eat just one. And see, once I tasted God, I can't go back on his promise, because he's sweeter than a honeycomb. Anybody ever tasted Jesus? See, every time I get a chance to eat on this world, it keeps on filling me up. And in fact, I get so full that I begin to regurgitate. And when I regurgitate, I'm regurgitating right now. I'm telling you what the word says. Somebody ought to help me this morning. Now, everybody that's hungry, not hungry for the same thing. Everybody's not hungry for the right thing. In church, we love to be entertained. But that entertainment about like that cotton candy. Can I get a witness? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We get entertained, but when you get back home and you catch hell all the week, you still can't make it through. But when I feed on the word from heaven, when I feed on the milk of the word, I've got something to carry me as I encounter my problems. And when the devil throws stuff at me, I just speak back and regurgitate devil, no weapon. Formed against me shall prosper. Right now, somebody says, well, I don't have any food in the refrigerator. Well, then you just need to tell the devil, man does not live by bread alone. We treat religion or salvation like cafeteria food, eating at the buffet. We take what we want and leave the rest. Time out now. Somebody gonna get mad at me now. See, we as so-called saints of God got to understand that when the table is spread, I think we were told at the conference yesterday that there are 66 items on the menu. And so you can't pick which one or two you want to eat. Amen. Just like God is a God of mercy, also on that menu it said that God is a jealous God, and thou shalt have. See, we can't pick and choose what we want. See, holiness is right. We got folk that want to pick out and twist the Bible to say what it want to say. But let me tell you, I keep telling you, oh, taste and see. Some of us scared to taste. Don't nobody like to eat out of Revelations a whole lot. But see, we settle for half-baked holiness. Folk flipping, talking in tongues, and can't tell you one word of scripture. Why? Because your holiness is half-baked. Let me explain. When God saves us and he gives us a taste, remember what I said, just a taste of his righteousness. Babies can't eat meat. That's what the Bible says. See, we got to desire the milk. And after you eat for a while, then as you grow, you're able to eat some meat. But right now, some of us are birthed today and want to speak in tongues tomorrow. I've never seen a day-old baby eat a steak. Put some word on it, preacher. I'll do it. Let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Which grow means that I can't start out way up here. I've got to start out down here. But see, as I begin to eat the baby food, then before long, God lets me eat a little bit of the mashed up real food. And then I get a taste of the real food. And then I go crazy and hunger for it tastes so good. When reading the word, he told Ezekiel had to eat a scroll. And David said, I hid my words in my heart. But what happens is our growth has been stunted because we eat on the bread of mediocrity. Enough to get by. And that's what we serve at a lot of our churches, mediocrity. Just show up and talk about God knows your heart. But yeah, you know what? It's evil. That's what he knows. See, right now we're looking for some fast food joints like Burger King religion. But you can't have it your way. For Jesus said, I am the way. Now, if your way don't line up with God's way, then you can't eat off this table. See, when you have it your way, you have commotion and emotion, but when you leave with a hungry spirit, a thirsty soul. And a long time ago, they just asked the question, where's the beef? In other words, I sat out and I ate, but I didn't get nothing. Where's the power? And as you seek to do God's will, God will make sure that you get full. See, if you talk like you ought to talk, if you walk like you ought to walk, he'll fill you with his goodness. See, David said in Psalms 107:9 that he satisfies the soul that longs for him. And right now, we got to long, we got to want Jesus to say, Jesus, I need you to fill me up. And when he fills you up, he'll treat you like a shepherd does it. And you'll be able to say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because he leadeth me in the path of what? In path of what? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for. And he'll lead you in the path of righteousness. And David even said, even though I walk through the valley. Some of us got some valley. Sometimes you get hungry in the valley. He said, I fear no evil. Because God's with me. Rod and staff comfort me. Anybody here hungry? Somebody here don't want you to eat. Somebody right next to you probably punching you. Don't want you to eat. But watch this. The words that, and he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Now, everybody that's religious ain't saved. And right now, so many people are afraid of the word of God. And when they see you getting fed, they don't want you to eat. They'll try to cut off your blessing. But guess what? God will prepare me a buffet right in the presence of my enemies. And then they said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. See, if goodness follow you, If mercy follow you, you can eat it every day. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And somebody say he's sweeter as the days go by. How's your appetite? The only thing I can tell you this morning is come over here. The table is spread. Somebody right now, knowing that you're hungry for something, and it seems like you just can't get full. But let me tell you, Jesus will prepare a table for you wherever you are. But you gotta have the appetite to want to eat. And right now, somebody thinks that your food supply has been cut off. But let me tell you, Jesus will be a bread in a starving land. He'll be water in dry places. Let me tell you a story. They said that there was a man who had just gotten saved, and he was around Thanksgiving, and he was sitting on his porch. Then his wife came out on the porch and said, "Honey, I'm going over to Sister Nim to eat but I'm going on by myself. Because since you gotten saved, they say you've been acting funny. They say you've been talking funny." And she told him, "And I don't want you to tell nobody that I didn't want to cook for you, but ain't nothing in the kitchen but some fat bag." Then the man looked around. He said, "Just go ahead, but put the fat back on." And I can see him as she went ahead. Then she said, "Well, what's going on with him? Don't nothing seem to upset him." But see, the man knew where his food came from. And the story said, as the fat back was cooking, an old peddler came round the curve. The truck hit a bump. When the truck hit a bump, three or four bunches of green fell off the truck. But the man said, "Since I've been saved, I can't steal these green." He said, "Mister, you drop some green." The man said, "Just keep them. I don't need them anyway." Then as time passed on, they tell me that God man began to pick the greens. Then he began to wash the green, talking about God preparing a table for you in the presence of your enemy. Then they tell me after he washed the greens, after he picked the greens, he put them down in the pot with the fat bag. Then a few hours later, they tell me that his wife came home. She said, "I'm hungry because Sister Nim didn't have no food either." But then she opened up her nostrils. She began to smell. She went in the kitchen. That ain't nothing here but a piece of fat back. But then she took the lid off the pot. And when she took the lid off the pot, she saw a big old pot of greens. And what he was saying, the husband said, "The Lord said he'd be bread in a starving land. He'd be water in dry places. Now you need to go and tell Sister Nim to come on over to the house that the table is spread and tell them, oh, taste and see that God is good." Can I get a witness? Have you got an appetite this morning? See, God will send some joy by your house. God will send some mercy by your house. God will send some grace by your house if you got an appetite. He's all right. He's all right. Has God ever shown up and showed out? You got a hunger for righteousness. When you get righteous, God will grant you favor. Folk will close one door, God open two.
if you just trust him and believe him. For the word says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And right now I'm offering you the invitation. God is saying that you can, if you're hungry, I'm going to give you something that will carry you past your next meal. If you're thirsty, I'm giving you some water that will run forever. Because when he fills you with his spirit, the inner man begins to change. And the more you love Jesus, the greater your appetite will become. You are hungry and say, I can't get enough word. You said, I can't wait to worship time again. And that's when you find yourself going down the road. And you find yourself singing. And folk next to you think you lost your mind. But they don't understand, I'm just hungry. I got an appetite. He'll fill you up. The invitation is given. There be one to come this morning that does not know Jesus as your Savior. He'll fill you up. Or perhaps you know him as your Savior, but you seem like you're missing some meals. God will change your appetite and give you the desire to hunger for righteousness. Will there be one to come? God knows. Stop pretending. If you're hungry, you need to stop pretending. You know that you're empty. But God will fill you up. Fill you up. Fill you up. Somebody ought to say, God, fill me up. Fill me with your spirit. God, I want to be just like you. I want the same mindset of God. I want the same heart of God. And when I have that appetite, I'll find myself laughing when I ought to be crying. I'll find myself smiling when somebody thinks I ought to have a pity party. But you know why I'm smiling? Because I'm full. And even if man cuts off this physical food for a while, I can still make it. Why? Because I'm full. Let me speak to you right now. The Bible talks to us about fasting and praying. Now, you don't do it for a show, but let me tell you what happens. When you're filled with the proper things, you can turn that plate down and you'll stop hungering for that chicken if you just feast on that word. And right now, maybe somebody needs a breakthrough. If you'll get filled with the right thing, it will allow you to be able to fast and pray. Some of you looking at me kind of crazy. Because our appetites are wrong. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus came and he healed a man. And his disciples said, well, we tried to do that, but we couldn't do it. What was wrong? And Jesus said, these kind come out only by fasting and praying. And if we as saints can't fast and pray, that means that we're running on empty. And we need God to fill us with something so that we can do the same things that Jesus did. Somebody don't believe that that's on the buffet either. But he says, greater works that ye shall do. Healing still takes place. Deliverance still takes place. Folks still possessed with demons and they need to be cast. That still takes place. And the church can't do her part because they only eat half of what's on the plate. Let's all stand.